Well, hello, welcome again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is our hand car wash business in Church Hill on Highway 11W. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center. We preach verse-by-verse Bible teachings there all the while. We do the hand car washing, and we use the money that we earn there to support this business and this ministry. So if you would like to support verse-by-verse Bible teaching, simply come by the Wash and Word. Let us work. We believe, like Paul, that we should work to earn the money that it takes to present the gospel. And we do these verse-by-verse Bible teachings as a way of getting God's word out there in a non-traditional format. If you want to support us, again, just come on by. Let us know you're listening to these messages on the radio or that they're blessing you. And while you're by near the Wash and Word, anywhere in the parking lot, you can tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear all these messages for the week playing on a loop at 107.1 FM. You have any other questions? Visit our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Or call 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. All right, let's get back into our teaching verse by verse. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. Paul is dealing with a subject of lawsuits against the believers. And our last teaching, we talked about some examples of when it was okay for Christians to take people to court. Now, I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but there's two aspects to that statement and to that teaching. One was that we do have rights to take unbelievers to court if certain parameters exist. And again, you can go to washandword.com and download and listen to yesterday's message if you want to hear that. That'd be 1 Corinthians 6, 7, and 8. But the other thing was that when it comes to lawsuit amongst believers, Paul says that that's rarely okay. Granted, there's going to be times where it has to be done, but rarely is that going to be something that is acceptable in the sight of God. And then no matter whether it's a believer or an unbeliever you're taking to court, you have to weigh the fact that is this course of action going to be detrimental to my witness as a Christian? Is this going to lead or push somebody away from or towards Christ? And that's the question we need to ask. So Paul continues here, verse 9, chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And, excuse me. He goes on to say, "And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Let's stop right there. That was verses 9 through 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I first want to point out that I will not get into the trap of trying to define who will and who will not be in heaven, or what kind of behaviors are going to keep you out. I mean, I just read a list straight from the Bible of what Paul says of the types of people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, in fact, all of the people and the actions that Paul just mentioned, can I be bold and say that Paul is actually 100% wrong? You say, well, wait a minute, it's in the Bible, it can't be wrong. Well, hold on a minute. The reality is, it is people just like that that will inherit the kingdom. You see, heaven will be full of those types of people that he just went on, that we just described. I'll just give you the quick list again. Sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. That's just one list. There are several in the Bible. But again, heaven will be full of those types of people with one exception. And that is that they have been washed and regenerated in the blood of Christ. You see, what he's saying is that people who continue in those sins will not make it. But all who come to the repentant saving grace of Jesus' blood will be there. It's just like an alcoholic who goes to AA meetings. They claim, you know, their profession is that they're always going to be an alcoholic. They can be 15 years without a drink and they call themselves alcoholics. So we may all be drunkards or idolaters or sexual deviants of one kind or another, And whether we've cleaned ourselves up and come to the cross or not, that's what we always are, because it's always there. The only difference is we are washed and regenerated in the blood. So all of those people, or types of people, will be, or some of them will be, in the kingdom of heaven, carrying a label of what they once were. Of course, those sins are washed and brought behind us. But the point I'm trying to make is that we're all something before we become saved. We're all something before we become justified. But so what I want to focus on here is something that is, or at least was, on the mind of every new believer that was coming out of these behaviors, whether it was then or maybe even now. And that is, what if I do any of those things listed, whether it be the list I just read or other lists in the Bible, what if I do them after I've accepted Christ? Will I still be excluded from heaven? I mean, have you ever asked that question? Have you ever gotten genuinely saved, washed by the blood, followed after Christ? And, you know, whatever. We could put 100 things before the next statement. Because of blank, I fell back into my old pattern. I fell back into my old sin. I committed it one more time because of, and again, the reasons could be endless. But what if I do them after I've accepted Christ? Will I be excluded from heaven? And this is a question that's on a lot of Christians' minds. But listen, being born again results in a visible difference in action and behavior. In other words, if you're not sure if somebody is born again, look at their actions and look at their behaviors. And yes, they can still be, they could be manufactured. Some people are great at manufacturing different actions and behaviors, but genuinely different behaviors. If you don't notice that in a person's life, well, let's take it a step further. If you don't notice a visible difference in action and behavior in your own life, then you must question your own salvation experience. Now, bringing this back to what I was just talking about, all Christians, even after receiving Christ, even after, you know, experiencing the taste of the glory of walking with the blood, we will slip occasionally and fall back occasionally. The only difference is, how do we feel after that happens? Are we going to continue to use the grace of God as an excuse to continue in that sin? Or are we going to, as if we fell out into piranha-infested waters, jump back into the boat as quick as possible before we get devoured? And that's the difference between slipping and staying slipped. And that's the difference between those who Paul's talking about that will not enter the kingdom versus those who will. He's saying those who never come to the ungenerated redemption of Christ's blood, obviously continuing in those behaviors that we mentioned, they're not going to make it to the kingdom. That's good and obvious. But again, what happens to the believers who come out of those behaviors but slip back? Again, we have to test the rest of our lives against the one slip or the one behavior. Because if the rest of your life is changing, if the rest of your life, your behaviors are changing, your actions are changing, your mind and your motives are changing, and then you slip back, how we deal with that slip up is crucial to how we are positioned in Christ at that time. So again, the point is, when you slip, get back in the boat. If you fall into shark-infested waters, don't swim around and say, I'll get back in later. Get back in the boat immediately. Let me try to give you an example that might help you if you're struggling with something that you've come out of, but the devil is constantly bringing it back to mind. You know, maybe you're slipping here, you're slipping there, but you still feel the conviction of the Spirit. You're still trying to struggle through. There are a lot of Christians out there that are struggling with old behaviors, old sins. Think of it as, let's say we were to drive from here to Florida, for instance, and you drive 2.5 miles, you find yourself in Columbia, South Carolina, and you say to yourself, wow, that's, I look ahead and I still got a long drive to get to Miami. I mean, it's still 10 or 12 hours ahead of me. I can't believe how much longer I still have to go. Now, even though I've already driven 2.5 hours, I look ahead and I still say, I've got 12 hours to go. It seems like I haven't gotten very far at all. Basically, the whole drive practically is still ahead of us. And it would seem as though we have made no progress leaving Tri-Cities, Tennessee, getting to Columbia, South Carolina, and yet still having to go all the way to Miami. But looking back, they're still 2.5 hours behind us. We've still gone to, yeah, there's an enormous amount of road ahead of us to get to our destination. And compared to that, the little 2.5 hours we just traveled seems minuscule. But listen, as you continue on, the ratio begins to flip. And the more you drive, the more the ratio flips. And eventually, you only have 2.5 hours to go to get to Miami, and there's 12 hours behind you. And that's how it is with this Christian walk. We have to keep plugging away, keep plugging on, keep moving forward. And as we fight these temptations, as we fight these sins, as we struggle and fall and get back up again, the ratio is flipping each time we continue in Christ, till eventually we look back and go, wow, I've come a really long way. I'm not there yet, but I don't have far to go compared to where I was. And so after your conversion, you may look at your life and you may see so many miles ahead of you, you know, so many behaviors and areas that still need work. And Satan's going to use those miles or those areas and whisper into your ear and tell you, you still have 650 miles left to go on your trip. But for the Christian, your question should always be not how much longer until I get there, but it should be, look how much I've traveled since I began. Friends, that is the position that we need to take, the stand that we need to go with when we're trying to fight this battle and we're trying to move away from our old behaviors. Ask yourself, am I moving in the right direction? Am I staying too long at this rest stop? You know, stagnation will settle in if you do. Or did I forget something and have to go back home? You know, in this analogy of our drive, there's so many different ways that we can approach this. But the bottom line is, you may not be where you want to be, but as long as you are better than you were and bothered by where you are not, friends, you are still in the race. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul, nearing the end of his ministry, the end of his life, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. And this whole section has been about lawsuits so far. And this seems like such a small issue, but these last verses show the importance that Paul groups them together. So for the Christian, demanding your right to be right, even when you are right, is sometimes wrong. Jesus never claimed his right. And listen, no one ever had a more solid case than Jesus did. In verse 11, Paul lists the list, but he does it kind of in reverse order as what had happened. He says, and this is what some of you were, but you were washed. He is reminding them of where they stand now and how they got there. They were washed and sanctified and justified because they were first justified, sanctified, and then washed. Let's look at where we are and where we've come from. Let's not be daunted by the task of what's ahead of us. Listen, unsaved people need to be justified. That's salvation. Justified people need to be sanctified. That's Holy Spirit growth. And sanctified people need to be washed. And that is the growth of stumbling, getting back up, and washing yourself off and moving forward. So friends, let us run this race with perseverance. Let us run the race with confidence, knowing that Jesus is at the finish line, that our sanctity and our salvation is secure in the hands of Christ, who proclaimed by his own mouth that he has not lost one of all that the Father has given him. So we rest in that assurance. And that assurance is what pushes us to keep going. So friends, don't look back, except only to look back to say, I've come a long way. I still got a long way to go, but I'm not going to let the devil whisper in my ear. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you again for joining me. And again, come on out to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Join us at 10 a.m. for Sunday service. I preach on Sunday nights at 6 p.m., verse by verse there. And Pastor Joel Allen is doing an amazing work there at that church. I invite you to come out and see how a real church is supposed to function. Real needs being met, real gifts being used. And you know, today, status quo just isn't working. We've got to shake some things up. And that's what we're doing here at The Washing Word. And that's what he's doing at Abundant Life. Have a blessed day.